The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Guys, welcome to All the Fails. Today, I have the sort of, what would you call yourself?
What would I? Make it up.
I mean, I was going to say that you were sort of just like the grand dragon of Dear Media. Like, you're like
that's what
the
you
tent
want.
Pole. The fucking.
That's after like knowing, how long do we know each other? Like 3 years
you're
or
like,
something?
You're like the Nordstrom store and we're all like, I'm like the like Hollister or like whatever that's like coming into the mall. Hoping that the Nordstrom can keep us all afloat.
Wait, so, okay, so you're not going to be like social media star.
I am going to get there, oh, okay. But first I'm saying,
I'm just kidding.
Amanda Hirsch, known to most of you by her
handle,
not skinny, but not fat.
Yeah, dumb handle.
Hurry, I love that you still have it.
Even then we talked about the dumb handle.
It kills me.
What
it kills me
that
you've kept it. It's so funny.
It kills me that last time that I did Jenny Mullen's pod, which was, I need to remember, it was a while ago.
It was a while ago. It was like in 2022.
I left your apartment.
Yeah.
Saw Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yes. It's, yeah.
That's
our
it.
Kids are in, yeah.
I saw Ryan Reynolds.
And that was it.
A pickup.
Did he get, was it like a bad omen? Did he like
he was
prophesize
wearing, like,
something for you?
It, what's it called? The paperboy hat. He was wearing a paperboy hat.
What? Was he doing newsies outside my apartment?
Oh, newsies. Yeah.
Oh.
Newsy hat. It was a moment. It wasn't like, I think it's the same thing I feel about him. Like, oh my God, cool. Ryan Reynolds wasn't like turned on.
I've never been turned on by Ryan Reynolds, but it's also because I'm weirdly competitive with him.
Why? You're not in the same thing.
You but have, we like, have the same publicist.
Oh, you're competitive with him specifically over
for
your...
her attention.
Yeah.
So when she's like in Japan with Ryan, it annoys me. But when I walk past Ryan on the street and I'm on the phone with Jamie, I'm like, fuck you. Hi. And like, there's a weird thing.
It's funny you gave Japan as an example. I remember she was in Japan with
she's
him.
She's always in Japan with him.
I'm like, are you? Can you like have a family if you keep on going to Japan with Ryan Reynolds?
I mean, it is an interesting choice for her, right? She is like sort of, well, as a publicist, you are sort of in a relationship with your clients.
I know, it is wild. And yeah, it is a wild job. I'm interested in it.
You would do it?
No, I thought I did, by the way, back in the day.
Okay, wait, yeah.
No, but this... I have all these relationships with PR people now.
Oh, for sure.
Because I...
And you see what a time suck it is. Like, they have no life because of it. Like, these
but
actors drive them crazy.
It, but I think it's, like, one of those jobs, and even my agents told me this, like, they don't ever want another job, you know?
Yeah, it's you have
not,
to love it.
You have to, it's not like, oh, 1 year I did PR, one year I did, it's like, this is what you're doing,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, Lindsay Lohan's PR was Lindsay Lohan's PR since she was a baby.
Ever. Yeah, and you have to really love the lifestyle because yeah. It's an interesting lifestyle.
But it is interesting for me to be on the other side. Like, my friend literally told me, we were having dinner one time and we were just talking about, it was so weird, very unlike us to be like deep. But we were talking about like different attributes that each other have. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're really friendly. Like, you're like, and then about me was like, you like really care to ask like questions. She's like, I'll be like, oh, I picked up my daughter from school. And you'll be like, where is the school? What street? What time? You know?
Yes.
And it makes me emotional because I'm like, that's so true. And it's
what you
really
do.
Related to what I do. Like,
completely.
It's not a surprise that this is what I do when like I'm like that. Like, you can't just give me information out of nowhere. I want to know all the surrounding details.
But that's why I think your pod is so good and why so many other pods are terrible. Because I find that like, a lot of people, and I'm sure you've been on a guest you've been a guest on other people's podcasts where you realize, wait, they don't actually care about me. They just want to talk about themselves. I'm just here as almost like, you know, like a pocket poodle that is in the photo so that you can take a selfie, you know, like.
Or they're having me because, you know, I can really tell. They're having me because somebody that works for them said it was a good idea, but they don't actually know me or care about me.
But they also don't try to.
So they did some research to be able to ask some things. Do you get what I mean?
Sure, sure.
For me, even at this point, like, if I'm going to have you on my pod, like, I want to.
Yes.
You know, no one's making me do anything. No one's making me talk about anything. No one's making me have anyone, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's because I want to and I'm genuinely excited about it and I'm dying to know things, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I can really tell when someone was like, I went on like...
Forced.
You know, I'll even say it. Fuck it. I went on like Spencer and Heidi's pod.
Uh-huh.
You know them from...
Yeah. The Hills?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I watched The Hills. Like, Spencer is hilarious. And you could just tell it was like their booker from their podcast network. That was like, it'd be a good idea, like, you know, she'll post it, you know, it'll get you more listens, whatever. And you could just tell that they were like, so, you know. And I just, I think Spencer is still so funny. Like, he said some, I ended up kind of asking them, like, you know, things. And the parts that I enjoyed were parts that I found out things about them, you know. I was like, come on my pod if you want, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. So anyway, that was, you can really tell.
You can instantly tell.
You can instantly tell.
I mean, when I went on like tour for the book, it's like clearly people had to have me on because Jamie was like strong arming everybody.
On a fucking tour.
On a fucking tour.
By the way, read City of Lakes if you haven't.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Was it your first book?
Book.
It was her first book, guys.
Ever.
I was obsessed. By the way, I had to have Amanda host me at the Strand for my book talk because literally the first thing she said, she goes, guys, this book is great for people who don't even read. My agent was like, her jaw fell out then.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, but it was amazing. And no, it's honest.
Because I loved your book so much.
Oh my God,
I just
gave
my sister, actually, I was going through my library and I have two. You will
because I didn't
it.
Stop sending them
stop
to you.
Sending them to me. So I was like, take the paperback. I'll keep the hardcover. Like, you're going to like this book. But no, I really liked it.
I love that.
Would you want somebody that like reads all the books? Oh, maybe. Maybe that's preferable. Somebody that reads all the books to like your book. Because then it's like.
I don't know. Somebody... No, because I always say, I'm like, I want to write books for girls who don't read books. Because if you can capture that person's attention.
Right.
Then you fucking. If they read everything, then like, what does it matter?
Right. That's a really good point.
It's not as valuable.
Right. That's a really good point. If you can capture someone's attention who like can read like a
can't
you
sit
know,
still enough to read a book.
Right. Rather than someone
a
who
trained
can
eye.
Read like a, you know, mid-century book. Right. Then like.
Who's reading Herman Melville at night?
Right. So
Kristen
yeah, you're welcome.
Stewart.
I love it. Kristen Stewart. She would read it. She probably wouldn't read your book.
No. She's like, this is trash. Until she's asked to be in the movie. And then she like has to.
Wait, wasn't there supposed to be?
Well, this is about you today. This is about you today. See, you're trying to turn it on me.
Just selfless me.
You're just selfless.
It's not that I'm selfless, but that here's the thing. Like, I'm not.
You're curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, curious.
You're curious.
Now when someone's like, describe yourself
in three words. Inquisitive is what you should say. I'm inquisitive.
Inquisitive, curious. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they ask you to describe your kids on things?
I have the perfect of my kids.
What?
Well, one is Woody Allen and one is like Kaiser Soze from
Usual
Suspects.
No, but you can't say that on like a camp application.
Well, to a certain extent, I have.
Are you like, my kid is, wait, one is Woody Allen?
Well, he's very neurotic. He's like,
Whoa.
You know, and the other one is just like sort of like schadenfreude kind of fakes injuries. We go to the emergency room and then he does his arm in the air. I was just kidding.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's scary.
Wait, that's happened?
It's scary as fuck. Yes. Laszlo had like an injury. He's sobbing, holding his arm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We take him to the... I came home from seeing... Like, I was walking into the Beacon to see Chelsea perform. Get a frantic call from my sister-in-law. I go home. Laszlo's like sobbing on the ground. Sid is upset. He's like, my parents are going to kill me. My parents are going to kill me. Like, thinking he broke Laszlo's arm. Go to urgent care. Laszlo's sitting, holding the arm. And then all of a sudden, they go to get the x-ray machine because they could wheel it into the room. And he does one of these. Leans back on it. So when the nurse came back in the room, she's like, I'm sorry, which arm is it? And he just looks at us and he goes,
No.
Yeah, he was like fucking like three. It was scary.
Wait, what do you do? Are you mad?
I didn't know how to punish that. Like, yeah, you know how like life throws you curveballs. I was like, I'm really impressed. Slash, I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight because you could murder me in my sleep. But oh wait, I'm dead because on the first podcast, it's like, this is the perfect podcast because I want to talk about my favorite story you told me, which was you submitting yourself for jobs.
I did love that. I wonder why you love that so much.
Because I was an actress. And okay. I understand like how insane it is that you were living in Israel.
To lie.
No. Just like the confidence, let's say, that one must have.
Yeah.
To get headshots, professional headshots, while in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And to start submitting yourself.
Yeah.
On what, Backstage West? Wait, or like where? Because this is like, this kills me.
I need to find the pics. And I say this, which is so lame. You know how like things that were cool thoughts and original thoughts you had are now like words and TikToks and you're like,
yeah,
I've never been original. So I was literally saying to you, I probably said this on your podcast, I have proof. I was like delusional. I was delusional. I said that. And like now you have like Delulu, you know, and everyone's like, I'm so Delulu.
True.
And I'm like, oh my God, I was Delulu, but I don't want to like use the new Delulu thing.
No, because you were Delulu before it was Delulu.
I was Delulu before it was the Salulu. That's what they say.
I'm dead.
That's what they say. Delulu is the Salulu.
I can't.
I know. Vomit all over everybody. So on your pod, literally I said that to you, which you love that story, but it's true. My whole life really thought like I'm meant to do something.
Yes.
Like, and everyone gassed me up around me, but maybe like my older sister.
They all said to you, you're going to be something.
Yeah. But it's funny because my mom would like say that, but also be like, you know, what's your major? And I'm like, wait, this isn't adding up.
Oh, interesting. You know? So she was like supportive Jewish mom, but then also like,
get a job. Like, yeah, you're going to college, all this shit.
And what's your birth order?
I'm the middle.
Okay.
Adds up for you?
That tracks. Yes.
What does that mean? Doesn't it mean that we like got less or something?
No, but it also means that like I feel like if you're the middle child, Jason's a middle child.
Yeah.
I think it's like.
And he gives it.
Yeah. And I think it's also like a lot of performers are middle children.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because we felt the need to like.
You weren't being seen and you're desperate to be heard.
Huh. That's so sad.
It's sad, but also it makes amazing performers.
And it makes like. Yeah, because it's usually the older children that are like more fucked up.
For sure.
Like we found a way to deal with the fucked upness.
Yeah. And how to like navigate the environment and how to keep everybody happy and, you know, how to accommodate.
Yeah. So I thought it. But here's the thing. So did like weird things like took acting in the city, like this like acting course. Like,
but hold on. In the city, in New York City?
Yeah, I grew up here.
Okay.
Born and raised in the Bronx, like J-Lo, but in the Jewish part.
Okay.
So not as cool as J-Lo, but I love saying it. I'm like, the Bronx, and people are like, really? I know, and I'm like, Riverdale. So
Riverdale,
I know. Uncool, very not Kristen
Where did you go
Stewart.
To high school?
Beacon, in the city, public school. Right. Which is, again, a thing now, because I look at my kid, and I'm like, thinking, you know, he's in private school. And
right.
And then you're like, I went to public school.
Me too,
like,
public.
Was cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And what did I think of these fucking private school kids?
That they were douchebags,
right.
Probably. Yeah.
Right.
I'm so scared of public school in the city.
I mean, no.
But now
They're
that I've met you, I feel better.
People. Like, think about it. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what they do in private school. Like, cocaine.
Off hookers.
They have more money to
10
do
years
more
old,
coke. You know?
Fifth graders doing coke off hookers' asses. That's what happens, right?
They have more money in the private schools to do more of the coke.
Oh,
I know. Anyway, that's another
thing. I
hope
Sid brings me some coke when he starts doing coke. It's been a while.
So went to high school in the city, did like acting things on the side. Just to like have, I was
but like, what are these acting things?
Like acting classes. Like,
okay, just classes.
I did that, went to college, minored in theater.
Which college?
Ithaca College.
Okay.
Minored in theater to like feel like I'm again doing it, which was so
what
funny.
What was your major?
Marketing, integrated marketing communications.
And that was to appease mom?
That was to like, went to the guidance counselor. She was like, you're a people person. You should do communications. I was like, okay. And this is why we shouldn't go to college at 18, in my opinion.
I know, it's true.
Deciding at 17 because the guidance counselor told me.
What you're
going to
do for the rest of your life. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, PR. I don't know what that is. I literally just found out.
You would be great to go to Japan with Ryan Reynolds.
See, now I know. Then I didn't know what it meant. We were writing press releases.
You would actually be amazing.
You think?
As a publicist.
I probably would.
It's just like, you have to be like, willing to be like, mean to people.
Too. I know.
That's the only thing. I think you'd be like, okay, fine. You can talk to them.
Okay, fine. And looking back, minoring in theater, like theater is different than like acting a little bit, right?
Completely.
So like the people are like theater-y.
Mm.
So I don't think
Espions.
I was a theater kid. Right. Uh-huh. So like being around them was so fun because it was going from like a mass media class where everyone's sleeping to like theater kids where they're like every sneeze is a performance.
Oh my God.
You know?
Where they're like, hello, right? Dolly.
Exactly.
Oh, they're like, God.
And you're like, oh my God, like I'm a little bit of this. Like I have a little bit, but I'm definitely not you. You know what I mean? I'm like the more tired you. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, like I'm not going to be doing this Tai Chi shit with you every morning.
Right. The movement.
The movement classes.
Yeah.
The link ladder breathing techniques.
So isn't it so interesting? Like you think something and then you're there and you're like, I love that I get to like see this.
Yeah.
And I like the acty part, but I really didn't connect to all the like theatery things.
Did you like acting? Like as a...
Yeah. And I think even then, because it was like, you just want to be famous. Like my older sister would like tease me.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'd be okay with like working as an actress, getting paid and like not being, you know, like how many actors are there not famous, but they're getting a paycheck.
And now you're like, that would not be okay for
me. I don't know if I was lying about that. But here's the thing.
It's a working journeyman.
I'm on a procedural.
That's why I got out of acting. Because I was on too many procedurals.
Oh, you were on too many procedurals?
Fuck that shit.
So I just learned that word recently. If you guys don't know what it means, Jenny, tell them.
Okay, so it's basically a procedural is like a CSI or like a Law and Order where you basically, the script follows a very rigid set sort of three-act structure where, or four-act sometimes, actually, four-act structure, where it's like, in the beginning, the cops come in at the scene of the crime, and throughout the course of one episode, they solve it, everything's tied up in a ribbon, and the next episode, it's as if it never happened.
As you start over.
And you start fucking over again. Uh-huh. And these shows run in syndication forever, and
people love these shows.
People love them. You can make tons and tons of money, mm-hmm. but as an actor, it's not the most fulfilling work because it's like
you can't
it's
win an
like
Emmy. Can you win an
you
Emmy?
You can win an Emmy, but it's like Groundhog's Day, where every week you come in and it's like whatever happened last week is never discussed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I hate that. Yeah, okay. It kills me as a writer. It's just like painful to think about.
So that's a thing, right? So then I graduated college, went to Israel, ended up staying, as you know.
Why did you go to be in the army?
Hell no.
Okay. To eat hummus.
Are you going to be in the army?
Wait, who knows?
Why, who knows? She's enlisting. No.
I mean, Lee Kern might come for me and I might end up. Who knows?
I went, literally, you guys, I went for like the Israeli men.
Oh.
My mom was literally like, I'm telling you guys, I know I look cute. I wasn't getting that much like action in high school, even in college, like really ugly dudes. Here. They didn't get me. The American
New York dudes. Guys didn't get you?
New York public school kids from Brooklyn didn't get me, no. Didn't get me.
Were they like hipsters?
Yeah, they were like hipsters and like, you know, it wasn't. And then college was a different dudes that didn't get me. It was like the John Mayer loving dudes that didn't get me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They would like let's play go to a Fish concert together.
Fish. Oh. They would play guitar and I'd be like, that's so gross. And then another girl who got that guy, she would be like, play it at my funeral, you know? And I didn't understand.
Play it on my grave.
But I'm not making this up, you guys. I'm not exaggerating. This was what it was. And I'd be like, it's so gross that you're playing guitar. Oh, like, so disgusting. And then I didn't get why they didn't like me.
Right. It wasn't
connect. But I knew that Israeli men would line the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, Argentinian men would, too. But
well, Israeli men,
access.
I have thoughts.
They have what?
I have thoughts.
Oh, okay.
They're hot.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like they're going to cheat on me. Well, like, most Israeli guys I meet, I'm like, aren't you married? Like, there's just like a, I don't trust it.
There is that sector. First of all, I ended up marrying somebody who doesn't look Israeli, doesn't act Israeli, like is a nerdy man.
Did you meet him in Israel?
I did. Yeah.
So your plan worked out.
My plan worked out even too much because I went, wanted to have some time to like have, I wanted to have fun. And I met him like the second day. Ended
what year was this?
2010. So we're together for, I look at my watch, 2010.
You were like, and 24 hours to the day, to the dot.
14 years. Is that wild?
That's a long
time. How
long
are you with Jason?
16. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
It's crazy.
I know.
I can't believe
it. And don't you remember when you were together for 5 years and you're like, this is so long.
I'm like, you're still here? Yes, totally.
So 14 years. So my plan didn't work out to like hoe out in Israel.
You only got to have sex with him there.
Maybe I squeezed in like one before.
Okay, good.
One overlap, you know?
Okay, good. Yeah, like, it's necessary.
I know.
Especially when you know like, oh God, I really like this person. Anybody listening, if you really like someone you just met,
squeeze something in before.
It's go out tonight. Like, don't stay home.
Right. That's such good advice.
Right?
Here's the thing. Here's why married bitches should be giving dating advice.
Completely.
Because, like, don't you see so much dating advice on...
From
like,
single girls. I'm like, you
from
don't know?
That didn't nail... That didn't even get anybody yet.
Yes.
And I'm not saying to nail... Like, I would never give advice on how to nail somebody because, like, that's not it. But that advice is so good.
Yeah, because like, you don't want to look back and be like, why didn't I? I should have taken that last opportunity if I'd known it was my last.
I was worried about being a hoe.
Me too. I hate that.
And
I
look
that.
Back and I'm like, what?
I know.
Why was I overthinking it? I could have had so many more not like experiences. You know what I mean? And
completely.
I wasn't a prude, but I was like, I was very thoughtful about it. Like, not this person. Yes. Or like, he doesn't get to like enter me. He does. Like, looking back, I'm like, I could have like stacked up some experiences.
Do you feel the way I do where like maybe my dad gave me too much self-confidence and I'm almost like, these people don't like get to have sex with me. They don't deserve it.
Right.
Like, no, I'm too like whatever. It was almost this weird like arrogance of I'm like, I'm not giving you the like, satisfaction of being able to go out and tell people that you fucked me.
Yeah. It's
there
true.
Was weirdness. There was a power thing for me.
Yeah. No, my mom definitely gave me way too much confidence. But I did, looking back, have sex with them ugly. I mean, they're
me too.
Not all
it wasn't
good
like
looking.
Hawkeyes.
Right, it wasn't Hawkeyes.
No, they had to like stimulate me mentally.
Yeah. It wasn't Hawkeyes. I'm like, looking back, I'm like. Ugh.
But I'm like proud of the guys that aren't hot. I'm like, look at like what a good person I am. Like, Jason, give me credit. Like, I never picked people based on their looks.
Wait,
he's like,
Jason,
thanks a lot. That makes me feel so hideous.
Does Jason get jealous? If you talk about exes, well, no, you talk about your
exes. I talk about exes constantly.
I know you do.
It's one of my favorite subjects are exes.
How doesn't he get jealous?
It's come up a lot in couples therapy.
But does he get, is he?
He's not jealous because he knows that like I was never really like in love.
You literally visit Germany.
Yeah.
You're German.
My German ex who I still talk, my German ex who I was going to have do the music for my podcast. I thought that would be kind of apropos.
Would it?
Maybe to have him like compose the music.
Why is this German ex like still in your life so much?
He's not really, but I do love his mom. They were like surrogate parents to me.
Oh, that's really cute.
But wait, back to you. So you're in Israel. You meet your husband.
I mean, my husband.
You still want to be an actress, but you're over there just looking for guys? Or like, were you working?
No. So I started like working at first as a waitress. Terrible.
Okay.
Like the worst. Wait, have you ever been a waitress? It's the hardest job.
I forget to put orders in.
No, I'm literally like in Israel, at least. I don't know if you guys have this here. They send in like a company can request to have an undercover person.
Like secret shopper.
Right.
Yes.
And I got one.
No, you did
and
not.
And I got the worst.
Of course you did.
Oh my God. No, the things I told this person, like, don't get this dish. It's disgusting. And then she asked for changes and I like lied that it can't be made when it can. Like mine was put up as
God.
An example of like what not to do. And that's to put aside the fact that I can hold multiple plates and like do all those things. So sucked as a waitress, like galore. And then got like weird jobs because like I didn't have a resume yet. I was right out of college.
And you were only there to meet guys.
And I was there to meet guys.
And did you have like an expiration date on being there? Was it going to be 1 year?
No, it was going to be a month and a half of like just hooking up, having fun. And then what happened was I met my now husband, ended up staying, like foregoing my ticket.
Wait, you got a job for only a month and a half?
No, I got... Okay, well, I got like I when I saw I was like staying, I was like, oh, OK, I'll delay my ticket for another month. I'll delay my ticket. And then my friend was like, oh, start waitressing here, make some money so like you can keep going out and fucking whatever you're doing.
OK.
So and then it just kind of extended into 5 years, literally like five. That.
And why was he in school?
No,
he just didn't want to move.
Oh,
back.
He was. He did end up starting school. It wasn't a conversation. I was having so much fun there. It wasn't like.
And he's like, I'm from Israel.
I'm from
here.
Israel. He had no interest in like a green card or like anything. So, and only when he proposed to me, I was like, by the way, don't think I'm going to like, because I saw what people are doing there. It's very like, I would equate Israel to like the South here where like people get engaged, get married, have kids, buy a house.
Yes.
So then I saw like, wait, when he proposed, I was like, sure, because I knew like I was down with that. But yeah. I was like, wait, I'm not down with all the other thing. Kind of want to go back home.
Right.
And that's when he was like, OK, then we'll try going back to your home.
So this
I'm like, New York. Can you appreciate?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I know. And a green card.
And a green card.
Like, how lucky are you? Oh. But when you were in Israel,
when I was in Israel
submitting, you were.
So when I was in Israel, I had this idea of like
getting famous.
Here I can lie and say that I went to a really great acting school because they're not going to check.
Yeah.
And I can get an agent because it's not like here where like for people that don't know, you have to like be somebody to get an agent. Already.
Yes.
It's like a catch-22.
Yes.
There it's you don't. It could be like, hey, I'm cute. You know, want to represent me. Plus, I had the edge of I look a little bit different than Israelis. I'm like fair skin. I'm blonde.
Yeah.
And I speak perfect English. So they were sending me a lot of auditions for that.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember I got the first role with this really famous Israeli guy. His name is Yehuda Levy, which I should have squeezed him in, by the way.
Why didn't you?
Should have squeezed. So I get this role. I don't know if you guys know, Bar Rafaeli was like there. She's this huge Israeli model. I'm filming in this like I really, you know that moment, you probably had this moment when you got your, one of your first acting jobs. You're like, I made it.
Oh yeah.
Like, this is my life now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And so see your craft surface.
So it's funny you say that because speaking of the squeezing in, so I was dating for like a little while, obviously not close to being engaged or anything dating. And I get this gig with the most famous guy in Israel at the time. And he was super sexy too. And he just broke up with his like pop star girlfriend. Like think like whoever Taylor Swift's dating, like they just broke up. It's this huge thing. Everyone like feels like bad. We went down to craft services. And you know, they're like extra. So I wasn't an extra. So I was like, kind of like, okay, extras. Yeah. And they, and
God bless.
He was calling the elevator and everyone was going to come in, all these extras. And he told them to stay out that he just wants to go up with me. And I'm like, so we're in the elevator and he's known for being like the sexy, like lip biting type.
Okay.
So he's biting his lip at me up the wazoo in this elevator ride. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, do you have a boyfriend? And I was like, yes.
Why?
I know. See, we should give dating advice.
No, and I've been married for fucking 18 years. I'm like, no, I'm single. I just have a little bit of baggage. I have two sons. And
so I'm like, yeah, I have a boyfriend. He's like, ugh. You know, the Israeli like.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Yes.
Just looking at me with these eyes. And I'm like,
oh,
and
God.
Yeah, I know. I look back at it. And I'm like, the story, you know?
Yeah, of course.
The story.
You need the story.
Yeah. So that was a moment. So I got like these things. I was like doing I was doing these things through lying, doing headshots, saying I went to acting school.
Submitting to things in America from Israel.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like, oh, well, obviously I'm this so successful in Israel. Yeah. I wasn't. Let's try there. And in America, as we know, now I know it was like a mood point to have been sending these things. Because
to random addresses.
I was submitting like. Now I'm repped by UTA, right?
Yeah.
They have gotten an envelope, you know? They don't take submissions, by the way, you guys. Like, real, just so you know, real places don't take submissions, right? And so I still found the address, like, printed
online.
A grainy headshot, put the resume of, like, Israel, like, things that I've played, and shipped them off. But I think looking
Give
back...
Give me a role that you played in Israel. Like, what was the name?
Like, what was I submitting for? Like... Or if I'd submit emails, it would be like, Amanda Hirsch seeks representation. Like, that's the subject.
Stop it.
I know. For what? What are you represented for? You know? But looking back, it's like,
I love the chutzpah.
That was
though.
Manifesting in a way.
Of
now
course.
We know that word, right? Delulu.
Yes.
That I didn't know that's what I was doing, but that's technically what it was. It was years of manifesting, putting out there, believing that, like, and I remember even saying things like in Israel, I was a bookkeeper for this like nonprofit. I know, so random. And people would be like, what do you do? And I'd be like, it doesn't represent me, but I'm a bookkeeper. Like, I had to say that because, like,
yes.
I'm not a bookkeeper.
No.
Like, I did it. I did it well.
But you were like, I'm going to be an actress.
I'm going to be something.
And when did you realize, okay, it's not going to be acting?
Well, first of all, I think if I look back, it's like I wasn't doing the things. Like, literally, even when in Israel, they would send me auditions, I'd be like, this is too far from my house. Like, this is at a time that I'm going to have wine, you know?
This
like,
is my wine hour. I can't come on my wine hour.
I'd literally choose things as if, like,
you were Meryl Streep.
Like, literally.
This is the fucking best.
So I think looking back, it was like I didn't want it enough that, you know,
right.
I wasn't close to the like sleeping in your car situation.
Yeah.
I was like not at all doing that. I was like sprinkling. So and I think all those sprinkles. So, no, actually what ended up happening is the whole time we're in Israel and I'm working these weird jobs. I'm not resentful towards Yaron because I was having fun.
Yeah.
But I was like, if I was in America, boy, what would I be now? You know?
Yeah. I'd
like,
be huge at this
I'd
point.
I'd be huge. Like, right. I'd be, you know, and he was like, I guess because he remembered it, he was feeling some type of way of like, oh my God, maybe she could have been,
and
you
I'm
know.
Keeping her down.
So then when we moved, it was funny because I was applying to all these jobs, like jobs. But like
what kind
cool
of jobs?
Things, like cool things, trying to like literally again, Delulu, like Harper's Bazaar, like editor in chief, like literally where I haven't been an assistant editor in my life.
Mm.
Just like things that sounded cool.
You're like basically Devil's Wears Prada.
Right.
I want to be Anne Hathaway somewhere.
Right.
Okay.
Or Carrie Bradshaw. Something cool.
Okay. Carrie Bradshaw. Is there
something
a Carrie
cool.
Bradshaw opportunity here?
Can you give me a column at the Sun? Where
oh
was she writing?
Oh my God,
for?
It's genius!
Like,
it's genius.
I'm like, look, nothing's coming. Like, not one cool thing.
Right.
Like, BuzzFeed did me a favor and gave me like a phone interview, and they were like, goodbye. Like, nobody
hung up.
Like, no listicles for BuzzFeed. You know?
Oh my God!
And then I ended up taking a job as a recruiter.
Okay.
Lamest.
What does that even mean?
Like searching for people on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And like. Finding the next CEO for like something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was doing that. I went into the office. My anxiety came back full throttle.
And you always had anxiety.
I had it. It went away. Like I had bouts. So I had like a really bad bout when I studied abroad. Really bad bout like my senior year.
Were you medicated ever for it?
So when I studied abroad and got it really bad, like when I say really bad, it was like I was walking down Barcelona streets, like the trees were, you know.
Trying to kill you.
Like upside down. Yeah.
Yes.
I was walking down the street. I wasn't there. Like
yes.
I was not. Again, looking back, tip for life. Go home.
Yeah.
I didn't. I was like, my mom was like, you have to finish your credits. You know, like the things that are important to you at those moments. You want to graduate with everyone. Yeah, that's true. Okay. I'll just die out
just
here
die
every
out
day.
Here. Yeah.
So dying every day in Barcelona. And they're like. They like set like my doctor from home, like sent me the meds, like sent me Xanax, sent me Zoloft, I think. But I was so not ready for to accept it mentally that I remember like I was on it for a few months and I was like, I can't believe that Amanda.
Yeah.
Queen of free spirit.
Confidence
can take over the world, go anywhere, do anything has. No. So my relationship with it was really fucked up.
Oh,
now my relationship with it is amazing.
But at the time,
I wouldn't accept it. So I got off of it so quick. I like weaned myself.
Oh, wow. And getting off Zoloft's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I had like heads. I had like weird things. But actually then went to Israel. I guess like sometimes don't always do this because it doesn't. Right. But in this case, like went to Israel, literally was like anxiety free for like a few years. Like,
did the anxiety start in Barcelona?
Yeah. My first panic attack, Barcelona.
And is it running your family?
Rude to fucking something.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awful. Hospital.
Does it run in your family?
My dad probably has some mental things.
Wow.
But like, yeah.
Okay. And so then you were there. Yeah. But I sometimes feel like being out of my element, I do feel the most relaxed. Like when I was in Germany, it was also like I was able to not have a lot of the like.
Well, no. So in Barcelona, I had it like galore.
But when you went to Israel, I mean.
But when I went to Israel, I don't know what it was. Like it was like better than coming home. It was like
yes.
just something that really made me feel safe. Now it wouldn't work. I'm sure if now I got anxiety and I shipped myself off somewhere.
Especially to Israel right now.
Yeah,
you feel like a little anxious.
So actually, that's my anxiety came back in Israel for the first time when I was there during like a war. And I had to run to shelters and stuff. My anxiety was so bad. So bad. So that's when it started like coming back. And then it really full throttle came back here when we moved back, me and my husband.
And you all were of a working sudden, as a recruiter.
Working as a recruiter.
Life isn't going the way you think it's supposed to go.
We're living with my mom in Riverdale still. We haven't found a place.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, I'm realizing, like, I took my, like, immigrant husband.
Yes.
What is he going to do here? This is all on me. He had to find himself here.
Okay.
We weren't, both of us weren't found yet in Israel.
Oh, okay.
Like, we were young. We were, like,
but he studied something there.
Yeah. He studied, like, business there.
All
but I was like, how is he finding a job here? We have to get him a green card. Like, he's not going to go work in an office as, like, something. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I realized a lot of things, and it put a lot of pressure on me. Yeah. So the anxiety came back. Like, I remember being on the subway, which I took my whole life. I went to high school in the city and getting, like, a panic attack. So I left the recruiting thing, and I left. Actually, I lucked out because I literally, and I never did this because I was so professional my whole life, and my resume mattered to me, but I was like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, no.
And they called me and they're like, what? Like, why? And I told them the truth. I was like, listen, blah, blah. And they were like, how about we ship you a computer to your house? Like,
oh,
they gave me what's it called when you can't leave your house? I didn't have that. Agoraphobia. But they're like, we'll send you a laptop and do it from home. So I did that for a while.
Wow.
I know. They were really, I think it was just like the right, they were accommodating because they were recruiting people from out of state all the time. And you know what I mean? So they kind of like,
affect them.
It didn't. And they knew the, like, you know, people can work remotely and people cannot like to come into the office. So they let me work from home. And that's when I actually started my account. Yeah.
And so like, your account started. It wasn't a podcast for first.
No, it was memes.
It was memes on Instagram.
It was like anonymous memes because it wasn't stories yet. So nobody knew it was me.
Right.
And then at one point I was like, I'm not this selfless of like just writing these things. Like I want people to know me.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny when I started posting myself, I would notice like, cause then I had like, it was a small amount of followers. So you'd notice like any drop, you know?
Uh-huh.
So let's say I'd like put a picture of me or like something and it would be like drop, drop, drop.
You're kidding.
And it made sense to me cause I was like, okay, this makes sense. Like it's like, they're following a meme page. Who is this bitch? You know?
Right. This little face that keeps popping up.
Like, this is not what
with the lips that are better than mine. This bitch.
This is not what we signed up for, you know?
Right.
But when I realized, like, okay, it's not like I thought I would doing this as a job, but I just knew, like,
you're writing funny, like, tweets, if you will.
Yeah, funny tweets. And then when I realized, like, wait, but I want to, like, be in it.
Of
not
course.
In a way of, like, I had plans to, like, do what I'm doing. But it was, like, I know that, like,
yes.
I want to be in it. So, like, if people should know what they're signing up for.
Yes.
You know?
It's your voice. So
right.
you need to own your voice
yeah.
and step into it.
Yeah. So I stepped into it and then it progressed. It went from like memes and then it was like, and then there was a point where I realized like people also care about the like celebrity pop culture stuff that I care about.
Uh-huh.
So I like integrated that. So it kind of like became a thing. Yeah.
And then when did you start doing the pod?
In 2019.
Okay.
So not like the pioneer of pods,
yeah.
but like hopped on like relatively at a good time.
Yes.
Yeah. And my first episode, I won't forget because I was doing it with my sister. I started with my sister. It was supposed to be like pop culture talk. Yeah. And then
where is
her
sister now?
Ditched
I
her.
Mean, is she like,
ditched
yeah.
her. I know. It was a little, once I started interviewing, I realized like we can't both interview.
Talk.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's not like, Ariel feels comfortable with me. Like she's so different than me. You
yes.
know, she's like quieter and shy, and so with me she can like talk shit and forget there's a microphone, but like once like I wanted to start like having people on, it wasn't the right thing. But
is she pissed at you
not
now?
At all Not at all.
What does she do now?
She's like the best. She's actually now, she just left her last job. She worked at a startup. She was like amazing. And even for her, I'm always like, you need to work at something cooler. Like, startup isn't cool enough for you. You know, you need to be, you're cooler than that. I want her to work in the industry, actually, like on the other side. I think she would be good
like,
at it.
Like, would she ever do something with your brand?
She would die to, but I feel like I don't want to pay her that much. You know what I mean? It's like, I know what she makes and I don't.
Oh, you're like, I don't want to pay you that.
Yeah, I don't want to pay. Like, when I am ready to pay somebody that.
It'll be her?
Maybe.
I won't hold you to it.
I know. It used to be like, yes, it would be her.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's what she should be doing, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Because then there is still weirdly that sibling there shit is. Happening.
I mean, know.
My sister and I don't think it would be healthy for us.
Yeah. So many people do it in this industry.
I know.
And my other sister would have it. That's the other thing. Like, we have a third sister. So
like a foster sister situation.
By the way, I always ask Aaron and Sarah about Jordan. This is very niche, but for people that know the foster sisters, Sarah and Aaron do everything together. But here's what people don't know. Aaron and Jordan are like almost even closer.
Yeah, no.
So Jordan doesn't give a shit because she like knows what's happening. Also, I think it's really like you have to not have the sibling jealousy issue.
Yeah.
You have to be like really at a secure space in your life. And Jordan has that, I think, foster.
And I also think there has to be like, you can't be on top of each other age-wise because then I don't know that it ever works.
So that's the thing. Me and my younger sister were like 5 years apart.
Okay.
My older sister, like even if my younger sister came with me here today, not as in working for me, but as a like, and I'd be like, can you go get me a coffee?
Yeah.
As a thing, I know my older sister would have to like swallow.
And deal with that.
Like a lot of pride if I had asked her to do so. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. My sister would be like, fuck you.
Yeah. So I think you're right. It's like my older sister is way too close in age. It's like, okay, Amanda, relax.
We're 16 months apart, Sam and I.
She would hate you.
Hate me.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom had one of Samantha's teeth pulled as a child so we could be in braces at the same time.
Oh my God.
That's how my mom rolls. But I mean, yeah, it would be too much.
Yeah.
It would just be too much.
Yeah. It always interests me with siblings because like I know our dynamic like gets jealousy. It gets. So I think that's another issue. Like, could Ariel ever really do something with me without it being like an issue long term? And I don't think so.
Have you ever done therapy with anyone in your family?
No. Have you?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
We definitely need it. That's for sure.
Like couples with my sister.
Really?
It was necessary.
Wait, you have two sisters?
No.
One?
Couples therapy. It was like me and my sister were the couple and a therapist.
Stop.
Yeah. It was very helpful.
Yeah.
You know why? Because like, I'm sure. Have you done couples with your husband?
No.
Oh, okay. So it's like having a mediator is amazing because you know how like when you're both locked into your defenses and especially having a child, it's like the stakes are so much higher. Right. Then like when you guys were single and fighting, it's like whatever blows over. But like with a kid involved, you are fucking, you want to be right. He wants to be right. You're both stuck in your shit. And a third person can come in and be like, he's saying this because of like his family of origin. You're saying this. You guys can both be right, but only one person can go first. So decide who's going to go first.
Yeah.
And then whatever, if you're not going first, save your shit. You don't need to say, but I understand how you're feeling, but I also am hurt. It's like, no, save that for like tomorrow. So my sister and I, having never really had a mom that was like a true mom, she was more our friend. It was like, let's say like she was more like
Drew Barrymore's mom.
Maybe not Drew's mom. She was more like Cher from Beaches not Beaches, Mermaids.
Okay.
Where it's like, my mom's like, I don't know, you girls figure it out.
Yeah.
So who was fucking mediating? Yeah. Nobody. So having a therapist there for the first time
was helpful.
We were finally able to like hear each other.
Uh-huh.
It was awesome.
That's good. But that's funny you say that because with my husband, even this morning, I was like deciding on camps. And I was like, I don't know. I'm debating between these last two. Like, what do you think? And he had a strong opinion on one. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to do it. And he's so scared for me to do something that he said because he knows like goes a little wrong.
Jason too.
He knows he's going to die.
He'll die.
And I'm like, okay, put that fear aside because I can't make the decision. You know, when you can't decide, like I'm so
totally
doing these two. I can't guarantee I won't blame you.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee that I'll listen to you right yes. now because I need you to tell me what's better because I can't decide. So it's funny that, like, you know, the blame game can be so strong, especially. Like whoever, like, especially with a kid, like you said, and but it is important to, like, you know, put a tap on that, like,
so
recognize
hard.
It, you know, and also the fact that he would literally rather me do something complete, like
Jason
me do,
too. He
me
doesn't
want to
be
the
bad.
Moon. Yeah,
he doesn't want to be the bad kid.
Yeah, yeah. He'd rather me be like, oh, the moon is good for this summer, and him yeah. be like, okay, you take it on
it's
you.
It's on you. Yeah,
it's on you. I'm like, what have I ever done to you when, like, you took the blame? Just reminded you of it every second of every day for a little while. It's not
sure.
that bad.
You can live through that. What is your biggest you fail live, as a wife?
You can live through that. I think really neglecting him after Noah was born.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
First of all, I think that I'm entirely different, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot has changed, too.
Yes.
And, like, I didn't have time, which I can't blame myself, but I didn't have time to hold his hand through it, which they need, these little fuckers, you know?
Yes.
It's like, I was pregnant, then I gave birth to Noah, and then that was my life, and he was dealing with what he was dealing with.
Yes.
Which is, like, losing me as a full-time everything. And also at that time, like with what he was doing with work, like COVID affected it. And I couldn't help him through that at that time either, you know, or his feelings even, you know, yes. not that men know how to, like, deal with that.
Was he jealous of the baby?
No, he doesn't have that. He doesn't have jealousy of my job or my baby. But I think it's just like wants
abandoned,
like,
by you.
Why more? Like, you look back and I'm like, I used to make you coffee in the morning. That's crazy.
Oh,
he used to put my feet on. He used to put his feet on me and I'd massage them willingly. You know
what? Who are you?
I know.
Jason would die. Jason would fall off his chair if I did that.
And now, like, after a day, he'll put his feet on me and I'm like,
what's going on?
No. And it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't expect a tickle.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, I don't get the big deal. Like, you used to do it all the time. And it makes me feel bad that, like, he feels bad. You
yes.
know, but at the same time, like, to me, it makes sense. Like, yeah, I used to do that when things were different, you know.
Right. And were you sort of an accidental sort of, like, traditionalist in a way?
I guess so. Yeah. I remember I used to, like, make him coffee, like, before me.
What?
I know.
I mean, not that it's terrible. I think that's very sweet.
I was being accidentally sweet. It wasn't like, let him love me. It was like, you know, and now it's like, no, I'm waking up. I'm tired. I want my mm-hmm. coffee. But sometimes I feel bad. Sometimes I'm like, you know, but you know how it is. There's, like, both sides when you're married. Sometimes you're like, I am the most amazing and nobody could ever, you know,
yes,
be as great as I am. But sometimes you're like, oh, like, I feel bad.
Yes.
Like, I should be more patient and, like, nicer. I was a bitch because I think when you marry somebody, you have this idea of, like, what they're going to be like as a dad.
Yes.
And with Yalon, the way he treated me, I was like, he's going to be the best dad ever.
Yeah.
You know, he's the most amazing. And until Noah was, like, one, like, he wasn't so great. Now they're, like, the cutest things. Like,
he didn't
Noah
know how to interact
with, like, a baby.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, now I'm going into the second baby, like, prepared, like, first year.
Right.
I already
he's just
know.
The head.
Yeah. Like, you're going to be with Noah.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to expect you to, like, be me.
Right.
I think when Noah was born, my kid who's alive, my kid is
my kid
here.
That's outside my womb.
My kid that's here. I was like, why isn't he doing everything I'm doing? You know, why isn't he, like.
Oh, I would be. Yeah.
So I resented.
For sure.
I resented. Because also I was, like, exclusively breastfeeding and he couldn't even give him a bottle because Noah wouldn't take a bottle. Because all these things that I was, like, the anger was towards him, you know? Like,
well, I always say, it's like, why am I resentful towards you? Because you're the only other person here. Of course I'm resentful. Like, this is a fucking pressure cooker here.
Right.
It's like, you know, you're being tortured in a room and there's only one other person there. So, of course, I'm blaming you.
Right. Right.
Jason was like a mom. Like, the minute baby was there, he worked at a baby Gap Kids combo store, so he knew how to do a onesie. He knew. No, it was almost like annoying in a different way.
Yeah, like, why are you better than me?
He was better than me.
No, stop.
I mean, he's still better than me.
You think?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I'm like a great dad. I'm not like a great mom.
You're a great dad.
I'm a great
dad. And he's
dad.
More of the mom?
Even Lazo gets on the phone with him. He's like, mommy?
No, he doesn't.
Like, it's by accidental. Oh, but it's he always accidentally. Calls Jason mommy and me daddy. Yeah, it's fascinating.
That is. Yeah. Damn, kids are interesting.
It's so wild. But yeah, Jason's still putting their shoes and socks on. I mean, it's like crazy.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's cute.
He bought the bathing suits just arrived. We're going on vacation.
But it is true. When you see them being good at it, it is a real, it's such a satisfactory thing.
Yes.
Like, it's like knowing that, like, your kid is 100%
taking
good with the other person.
Yes.
Which now I feel that way. And it's amazing. Oh. Like, I'm not one of those people that gets jealous. Doesn't sound like you are
no,
either.
I'm
like,
happy.
If he's like, Abba, I'm like, great.
Oh,
like,
I'm psyched because I'm just like, great. Like, you're getting the childhood that I wish I had had.
Yeah.
You like know, a, like, in yeah. some way. Like, it's so awesome that you have a dad that's so fucking hands-on.
Yeah.
That's the class parent.
Right.
That's always there. I actually get annoyed when Jason's working because I'm like, wait a minute. No.
Yeah.
You need to be
available. Full-time. So I feel the same way. Like when I don't get jealous at all.
Yeah.
Like I'm happy when Noah wants him. And especially because like the first year I was like so disappointed that when I see them, their relationship just like being so amazing, I'm like happy because yeah. I know I'm like confident in Noah's love, you know?
Yes, of course.
I'm not like, oh, he doesn't. I'm like, okay, I'm very aware that he does and very aware that I'm so happy that he.
I wonder if he had a daughter, if he'd be different. I don't know.
I
don't have daughters.
Would you? Do you want?
But I feel
would you
so
want?
Locked in. Not now, but I feel so locked in my relationship with Sid that I'm like, I don't care. Jason can like try to step to this, but
yeah,
like,
right. Like if your daughter was like obsessed,
like would
yeah,
that
yeah,
kill
yeah,
me?
Yeah.
Would
right.
that crush us?
Because it is true what they say.
Oh yeah. Jason would ditch me in a second for a daughter. It's
right.
all he ever wanted.
And also the daughter would hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually. And try to kill me.
Right. I know. Maybe we're given,
Greek tragedy.
Maybe we're given what we can handle.
100%.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, we know you need so much attention. You need to feel like the queen.
Yeah.
You need everybody to love you and want to make out with you all day.
Yes. Even so my dog
boys.
Is a boy.
Right. My dog's a boy, too. So many balls around.
Tons of balls. It's their favorite word.
I could do with. Noah just discovered it was the funniest thing.
Oh, what does he say?
There's a ball here.
Oh.
Yeah.
He thinks it's one.
Well, I was like, yeah, those are your balls.
Where have you failed as a mom? Like, what do you think? What do you think you'll be taken to therapy for one day? Do you know yet?
I don't think I know yet. I really feel like I'm good at it.
Where is there anything that you're like, oh God, like,
as a mom,
I should have done that differently.
I don't know, Jenny.
Yeah, it will reveal itself with
time. I know.
I'll have you back on.
Yeah,
and you can tell me
what I failed at as a mom
at a later date. I feel like I know certain things, but I know I'm also going to be completely blindsided by other things.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird because we know it'll happen in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's just,
yeah.
You know, we're responsible for somebody's trauma.
Right.
Just by sheer
by
fact
living.
That we had children.
Right. I know. Makes me emotional.
I know. Because, like, we can't do it perfectly. That's why it was so hard for me to become a mom, is knowing, like, I'm going to mess somebody up. Great.
I know. It's also weird. Like, I was at his parent-teacher conference yesterday, which is so funny because he's three. And I thought I was going into, like, we're obsessed with him. Which, like,
oh, God.
You know,
they have issues.
No, not issues.
I love when they're three, when they're telling you at three.
No,
it's so ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. So when they tell me, like, all these things about him, and I'm like, that's not my kid.
Yeah.
I'm hormonal, so I was, like, crying. They're like, yeah, we're building his confidence. I'm like, building his confidence?
Oh, my God.
He's the most
stop.
Confident kid. I tell him he's a king all day. Like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
You know? I didn't say that to them. I was like, uh-huh. And just later, I was like, how do I have a kid? Like, how isn't he raising his hand first? Like, I raised my hand first, you know?
Well, that I've been talking
like,
about that so much.
I'm
it's
already
like
projecting.
The projection.
Yeah.
And like us trying to raise the child that we were and not the child that we have.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a
And my husband,
huge
it,
thing.
You know, it was so funny. So I'm talking to my mom about it. And my mom's like, you know, Amanda. Oh, my God. This was so funny. So I'm telling my mom, like, mom, I raised my hand first. And like, and she was like, okay, Amanda, like, he's not you. You know what? Me and Allison, Ariel, like her and my sisters, we're all like shy and we didn't raise our hand first. Like, maybe he got it from us. My husband's like hearing this phone call and he's like, or maybe.
Assholes. There's also another fucking
and he
person
constantly
in the mix.
Needs to.
Oh, this
oh
is
God.
So me.
He literally died. Like, he was like, this is out of like a twilight. Like, hello. You're literally trying to say, and my husband is shy, like, yeah. hello, you know? And he's like, you're literally saying, can't be from Amanda.
Where would it have come from?
Maybe you're great, you know? And he's like, hello.
I'm dead.
And then I'm like, I have no problem blaming you for everything. Yes. If you want to go there.
Totally.
You know? Then yes, it's all your fault. You didn't raise your hand in school first.
I do the same
thing,
though.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
And it's I always so think, funny. Like, oh, God, like, how is Sid good at math? How could it be? I was terrible at math. And he's like a wizard.
Well, you that's know, a like, good thing, though.
And Jason's like, I was good at math. I'm like, it's not that.
It's not that.
No.
Something it else. Can't be that.
No.
Something. He yes. saw a number. Maybe I, yeah. you know.
Maybe I am good at math.
It's not that.
It's so bad.
What's wrong with us?
We are really, there's a problem.
Yeah.
I love you so much.
I love you.
Thank you for coming on.
Of course.
When you're pregnant, which is like the last thing you want to do when you're pregnant is like go anywhere. But then to go somewhere and have to like perform and do a podcast and like the whole shebang, you're like such a ride or die.
Thank you.
Like I want everybody who's listening to know that like Amanda went online. I didn't even know how to do it and looked to book us.
And know your schedule.
She knows my schedule and she was looking to book us a time where she could come in and do me a fucking favor and
well,
be one of my first. Yes, it is.
But it's not
to
a
be
favor.
One of my first podcast guests as but, the yeah. Nordstrom's and I'm the Hollister store. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm actually like the
you're
like
not.
Hot dog on a stick store. I'm not even Hollister
no,
level.
Stop. You're gonna we'll be see. Amazing, and I support you always. Aside from when you're like being crazy on Instagram, and I have to tell you to calm down.
Stop talking directly to camera. Which,
no,
thank God you
gone.
Did.
I mean, yeah.
Thank
There's
God.
Other direct to camera going on.
Oi. Oi, Faye.
But I love you.
I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Of course.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.